important questions way back yonder during the time of the great pyramids being built of Giza. I mean, this is way back. I preached to you last Sunday night about them cities and stuff that they had, and all those things that they've discovered now. And there's no way those things could have happened, and I'm working on some stuff to show you on that, unless there had been giants in the earth like the Bible says. And this was during the time of the book of Job. Job was way before scientist. He was a scientist, but he's got it from the Lord. And he asked some important questions that they are asking at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Except they refuse to take the Bible viewpoint of it, because the Bible condemns their lifestyle. And when a person rejects the truth of God, they will accept a lie of the devil. Light rejected becomes lightning. And if you reject one of God's truths, you'll accept one of the devil's lies. If you reject another one, like if you want to do something real bad and you know it's wrong, but you figure out a way to make it all right, you've rejected a truth of God, and you will accept some lie of the devil. That's just the way it is. It's impossible to reject a lie and not pay a price for it. So Job asked these questions. And look at chapter 14, and I want you to look at these three great questions that Job asked. Job 14, the first one's in verse 10. Job 14 and verse number 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? That's a question. What happens to a person when they die? The next one is verse 14. Job chapter 14, verse 14. This is a great question. Scientists and philosophers have argued over it for thousands of years. But here it is in the Bible. Job 14, 14. If a man die, shall he live again? You know, the greatest minds in history have debated that question. If a man die, is he done? Is that the end of it? Or is he ever going to live again? Well, the rest of that verse said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. We'll talk about that more in a minute. The third great question, chapter 25. Flip over to chapter 25 of the book of Job, and you'll see the third great question, and then we'll get the answers from the Lord Jesus Christ. Job chapter 25, and here in the book of Job 25, look at verse number 4. The third great question, how then can a man be justified with God? What a question. How did he that be clean that is born of a woman? How can a man be right with God? The first question is, if a man dies, where is he? The second question is, when a man dies, shall he live again? And the third question is, how can that man be right with his maker? Now the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, answered all three of them questions. Give me up on this now just a little bit, Brother Mike. And I want you to listen to me this morning as I preach on the subject, Jesus answers Job's questions. Jesus answers Job's questions. If I wanted an answer to the world's greatest questions, I would not go, just a little bit, brother, to a philosopher. I would not go to a historian. I would not go to a scientist. And I sure wouldn't go to a drug dealer. Or I wouldn't go to a politician. I wouldn't even necessarily go to a religious leader. If I wanted to know the darkest, deepest questions of life, I would go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. He was here before we got here. He died. He's been dead, and he come back in. I mean, who can give better advice than that? Who can give better advice than a man that was here before we was here, and then a man that's already been dead and been to the other side and come back to tell about it? Nobody. So let's let him answer Job's questions. Job's question, number one, if a man dies, where is he? Number two, if a man die, will live again. Number three, how can that man be just with God? We need right answers. And the questions are still being asked in college classrooms around the world. You get these colleges, and they get into these debates, and you get into philosophy, and you get into psychology, and you get into all that. And they say, well, religion is good because it helps people through their hard times, and it's good that people have something they can believe in and stuff like that. But they far underestimate us that believe the Bible and Christians. This is not just something we believe in as a crutch to get us through hard times. This is not just something that we hold on to because we've been taught this way or grew up in the mountains and don't know no better. This is reality to us. And there's a real God and a real Savior and a real Bible and a real hell and a real heaven. The first question, let's answer it this morning from the Bible. If a man dies, where is he? The answer is in Luke chapter number 16. You don't have to turn to it, but it begins with verse number 19, I think long in there, and it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. And Jesus answers Job's question. Job asked the question, if a man die, where is he? Now you have somebody in your family that dies, or somebody that you work with that dies, or somebody that you are related to dies, they bring them in a coffin, and they'll bring them down here, and they'll put them right in front of the church, or the funeral home, or wherever the funeral service is being held. And they put them in there, and there is their body. You might ask the question, where are they? When they died, their soul left their body, so where are they? According to the Bible, and it's the best research we have to go on, we have no scientist that can tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you from the lips of Jesus Christ. The Lord told us where somebody is when they die. When somebody dies, their soul immediately goes to one of two places. There's a hell beneath you, and there's a heaven above us. They go immediately to the presence of God, or they burn in hell because of rejecting God's Son. Now, scientists don't want to accept that, and educators don't want to accept that. They say, I'm not going to believe in a God that would put anybody in hell. And our answer is, hell was never prepared for man to start with. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. If a man goes there, he forces his way in. He's an intruder. If you go to hell when you die, it won't be because God wanted you there. And it won't be because God put you there. You put yourself there. You chose to go there. God don't want you to go to hell. God wants you to go to heaven. Now, you listen to me. You listen to me this morning. You're not here by accident. I'm going to tell you where a person is that dies that is not saved. They are in hell. According to verse 23, a person who dies is in hell. You say, I don't believe there is a hell. Jesus said there was one, and he said it was made for the devil and his angels, and he's done been dead and been there, and you've not. I'm going to trust what he says and not what you say. According to the words of the Lord Jesus this morning, beneath our feet, there's a blistering hell where people go that reject God. When you saw Brother Jason jump up and shout a minute ago, you know one thing he's shouting about? He's not going to hell. We are going to heaven, but we're not going to hell. I'm telling you this morning, brother, the only reason that don't stir you is you don't believe it. Brother, if you believe there was a fire down there and you're not going to go, I'm telling you, they'd have to nail your shoes down once in a while. You get rabid in your feet once in a while. You start thinking, well, glory to God, I may not have everything down here, and I may not have it all right down here, but thanks be unto God, I'm not going to hell. Woo! Hallelujah, amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah, we're not going to hell, people. We're not going to hell. You say, what are they doing in hell? I'll tell you what they're doing. Well, in hell a man can see. The Bible said he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They can see in hell. You can literally see the flames. They can see the wickedness and the people just like a pile of just worms all over each other, biting and kicking and screaming and begging God for another chance. Not only that, in hell they're in torments. They feel those flames burning them. People in hell feel the flames. It is not a state of mind. Hell is not just a condition you find yourself in. Hell is not saying, well, if you hate classical music, they're going to put you in a room and play classical music for you. That's what some idiot said in a classroom somewhere. Whatever you hate here, it's going to be, that's what they'll give you in hell. I mean, if you don't like broccoli or you don't like, they're going to put you in a room with your mother-in-law forever or something like that, you know. That's what they think hell's going to be. That ain't hell, brother. The Bible said in hell there's torments. There's torments. There's fire and there's torment. You say, well, you believe that's literal fire? If the mansions in hell, heaven are literal, the hell in fire in hell literal. You can't say them physical mansions and spiritual flames. You can't say them are symbolic or literal mansions, but symbolic fire. It can't be. You can't have it both ways. And that's what people don't like about God. God is an extremist. With Him, it's in or out. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. It's saved or lost. It's heaven or hell. He draws a line and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you reject it, it's hell. For there ain't no purgatory. There ain't no such place as no in between. You don't go burn for a little while and then graduate on up into heaven. You hear me today? If you're not saved, get saved this morning before you leave. There's torment in hell. There's torment in hell. That you can speak in hell. In verse 24, that man spoke. He said, Father, Abraham, get me out of here. If that man can speak in hell, think of what it'd be like to listen down there. Millions and millions of people screaming. Once in a while, I'll do one of them videos, and I'll show people a video of hell, and I'll show them the people screaming and stuff, and I'll have parents get mad at me and say, you shouldn't scare these little children. I don't want my child seeing stuff like that. You know what that proves to me? They don't believe it's real. If I believe hell was real, I want my kids to see a picture of it and say, you don't want to go there, honey. You want to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what's wrong with people? They don't believe it. They don't believe it. Your actions prove you don't believe it. Brother, if you believe in hell, it'll make a somewhat of an evangelist out of you. You're going to want somebody to get saved. Amen? It changes your view, your philosophy in life. If you believe people's going to hell, let me just say something here this morning. I may not even get to all my questions, but I've been hearing a lot. I hear a lot these days about people who have terminal illnesses and stuff. And people who, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you may have 2 years to live. You've got 1 year of health to live, a healthy life, and then you're going to start going down. And you know what they say? Heard a man the other day, and he said, the doctor told me that I was terminally ill and I was going to be dead probably in 18 months or so. And he said, I told him I've got me some money, and I went and I traveled, and I wanted to go see the Grand Canyon, and I wanted to go here, and I wanted to go there, and I wanted to see all this world I could see, and I want to visit places because I want to see all I can see. Well, you know what that proves? That proves man don't believe the Bible. If you believe that all your friends and neighbors and the bus kids and the people on the mission field are going to go to hell if they die, the Grand Canyon ain't going to mean a whole lot to you if you die. I ain't against seeing the Grand Canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I sure didn't go there on purpose. A preacher took me there and I was preaching out there. It's just a big old ditch.
That's right.
I mean, that's a whopper, brother. Whoever dug that thing, bless God, had a shovel, and I ain't kidding you. And it didn't evolve like that. And the Colorado River didn't cut that thing out like they tell you in high school. Ain't no way that river cut that thing out. I mean, brother, bless, but you could drop New York City in there and lose it. I mean, it's huge. But I'm going to tell you something. If I thought that I was going to die in 2 months, do you honestly think I'd want to go to the Grand Canyon? I tell you what I'd do. If I thought I was going to die in 2 months, I'd get out here and I'd knock on every door in my community. I'd go and say, listen, come to Jesus. I'd call all my family and my kindle. That's the way you act when you believe what that book says. Country song. Have y'all heard this country song? I was in a store and it caught my ear. It might be popular. I don't know who sings it. But the guy came to catch a little tune. He said, I'm going to live life. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. He kept saying, I'm going to go to New York, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there because I'm dying. And I go, hey, it sounds like he's dying. Heard about that one old country singer. He had to quit singing, lost his career when his adenoids cleared up. But he wasn't no count no more. He was running, I'm going to go on here, and I'm going to go on there, and I'm going. And I thought, well, hey, you're going to die, buddy, you're going to die. And finally, about the third verse, I stand there listening to it. Finally, about the third verse, he said, and I get the good book out and read it. You better get the good book out and read it, big boy. I'm telling you, if I knowed I was going to die real soon, I'd get the good book out and start reading it, wouldn't you? I mean, if a man died, where is he? I'm telling you what. You say, well, brother, you'll find out if you believe that book and you realize you're going to die. Hey, you say, well, guess what, brother? Then y'all heard so-and-so's going to die. That ain't nothing. All of y'all's going to die. What's wrong with you people? You say, oh my goodness, so-and-so's going to die. You're all going to die. Amen. You say, but I mean soon. You might die before he does. Right. Might die today. Today. Amen. Amen. He can speak. Tell you something else. He wants mercy. He wants mercy. A man in hell wants mercy, brother. He wants out of there. He wants out. But there ain't no mercy. Tell you what else? He wants water. He wants water like that right there. There's no water. He said, on tip one is water. Drip a drop of water on my tongue and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But there is no water. He's in the flames. He can remember. He has a memory. People, you know, I'm answering the questions that they can't answer in college. A man can remember after he's gone. He can speak after he's gone. He can see after he's gone. He can hear after he's gone. He can feel after he's gone. I'm answering the questions that the philosophers, you say, well, why don't they know it? They refuse to accept what God said because they don't want him interfering with their lifestyle. Plain and simple. Men reject the Bible because it interferes with their lifestyle. They reject the Bible because they don't want to answer to God. They don't want to straighten up and get right. And so they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. And so they open just to believe whatever. Your guess is good as mine. If a man die, where is he? He's in hell if he's not saved. He's in hell. You can't have anybody come and help you. Nobody will ever come and rescue you. The flame don't go out. You can't get out. There ain't no rescue squad going to come down there and start blowing whistles and sirens and squirt and put the fire out. It ain't going to happen. According to Jesus, you'll never get out. If a man die, where is he? If he's saved, he goes to heaven. You know what the Bible said in that same chapter? That Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's where they went before Christ died on the cross. When Christ died on the cross, Abraham's bosom was moved. He took captivity captive and moved it to the third heaven. That's where it is now. You know why? You say, well, why was that? Because the blood had not been shed. And nobody could get into God's presence till the blood of Jesus had been shed. Those blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament covered their sins. It didn't wash them away. It just kept God from throwing them in hell until the real blood got here. And brother, when the real blood showed up, I mean, he emptied the place out. I like them stories them old preachers tell. He's down there in Abraham's bosom, all them Old Testament saints, and they was walking around, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all them, they was walking around down there, and they said every time somebody walked in the door and died, come to that place, you him? Was you him? You the Messiah? He said, no, I'm just an old Jew that offered the sacrifices and went to the temple, and I got here same way you guys did. And somebody else walked in the door. You him? And then one day, after that scene on Calvary, somebody walked in. And they said, that guy, he looks different than anybody that's ever walked in here. And he said, I'm he. And brother, he grabbed the keys off of the door of that place, and he said, come on, fellas, we're getting out of here. And brother, he took them out, and the Bible said when he come up, they come up with him, and the graves opened, and many of the saints' bodies which slept arose, and they started appearing in the streets of Jerusalem. If a man die, will he live again? Absolutely. He's going to heaven. You know what it is in heaven? Let me tell you what heaven's like. People say, well, we don't know nothing about heaven. Speak for yourself, buddy. I'm going to tell you some things about heaven. In heaven, you're carried there to the place of the righteous that are trusting in the Lord. In heaven, you're comforted. You are comforted. I tell you, we visited me and Damon. It went visiting yesterday, and we visited the rest home. And he's a young preacher, just started preaching out, and I wanted him to see what it's like, that part of the ministry, of being in rest home ministry. That's part of it. It ain't out just out here, you know, doing what I'm doing right now. I took him to a rest home, and I purposely, we went room after room, and they were sitting in wheelchairs. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, some of the most pitiful sight. There's one fella sitting there, and he's sitting in a wheelchair like this right here, just like that right there. And I tried to talk to him, he didn't move. Didn't even acknowledge I was there. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. And I talked to there's some dear old ladies there. One dear lady, you know how they'll hug a baby doll? They'll get a baby doll because they still have that motherly instinct. They want to feel like they're needed. And she's hugging that little baby doll. And I thought, are you saved? Just about everyone of them said, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. One old black fellow, he was sitting there in a wheelchair. I said, buddy, you saved? He said, yes, sir, I'm saved. I went to the Pentecostal church over here. And I said, amen, brother. I mean, he was happy in the Lord. You know what? I can look at them people, every one of them, and say, you're going to be comforted. You're going to be comforted. You ain't going to be in no wheelchair when you get over yonder with Jesus. There ain't going to be no wheelchairs over there. No blind man, brother. No crippled man. You can throw, some of y'all can throw that medicine cabinet you got at home away. When you leave this world, brother, I mean, you can throw them pills away, never have to go to the doctor again, never have to worry about a bad report and a good report, pain, arthritis, mad back, and toothache, neck ache, and headache. You ain't never going to have to. You will be comforted. You will be comforted according to Jesus. And I'll tell you something else in heaven. You're in the presence of God. You are right with the Lord. Amen. No pain. You need no help. You never want out. People in hell can't get out. People in heaven don't want out. Why would you want to ever get out of there? Woo! It's better than Disney World and Carowinds and everything in this world packed all together. No pain, no suffering. I told them boys last night, Damien and Josh, and I said, boys, it's better than anything you got down here times a thousand. It's better, amen. If a man die, where is he? He's in heaven or hell. Amen. There's water in heaven. How you know? The Bible said there's the water of life, the river of life. That's pretty good. But it's better than Dasani or whatever. What's that? Aquafina. Hopitom. It's all the same thing. It really is. We sell our water. I'm going to tell you something, brother. You hear me. You hear me. You hear me this morning. Listen, if a man dies, where is he? If you died this morning, you'd be in heaven or hell before your body hit this floor. That's why the old preacher said, no man attends his own funeral. He had an appointment and left earlier. No man attends his own funeral. He had an appointment and left earlier. It's appointed when a man wants to die. Let me ask you another question. How can a man be just with God? Brother Danny, you scared me this morning. How do I know I'm saved? Am I really saved, preacher? If I died today in a car wreck on the way home, somebody swerved over, been out drunk all night, hit you head on, killed you, would I go to heaven, Brother Danny? How can a man be just with God? Jesus answered that question. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. That cuts out Buddha. That cuts out Muhammad. That cuts out your goodness. If we could ever get this through our head, it would help us a lot. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You ain't and you can't. And when you say that, people say, no, don't tell people that. They'll just live like a devil. I ain't telling you to go live like a devil. You ought to try to live as right with God as you can, but that don't get you to heaven. Right. You stop 10 people out here in Burke County this morning and say, what do you got to do to go to heaven? And about 8 of them will say, live the best you can. Right here in Morganton. Brother, I'm trying. I am trying. I can promise y'all this morning, I'm trying to live right. I ain't perfect. I ain't right. But I'm trying my best to do what God wants me to do. I am. But that ain't good enough to get me to heaven. I'd be a fool to trust that. Try to get me to heaven. It's not enough. It's filthy in the sight of God. I tell you, bless the Lord, this morning, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I trust Him to be my Savior. And God will let me in when I die. That's how a man can be just with God. It's like this. Here's Jesus' life. Here's your life. This is Jesus' life. This is your life. All the sins that you've ever done in your life are wrote down on your record. Third grade up, brother. You told a lie to your mama. Cheated on a test. Took something that wasn't yours. Then you started cussing. Then you started messing around. Then you started drinking. Then you started smoking pot. Then you started lying. Then you, little by little, you spit up thousands of sins. Yeah. When you die, there's your record. Now Jesus, His record is pure. He did not commit one sin. One, not one. If He committed one sin, He'd be in the same boat as the rest of us. Bible said, who did no sin? Neither was any guile found in His mouth. He sinned not. Now, here I am. I've committed thousands. Here He is. He's committed none. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. God said, He's my propitiation. That means your substitute, your go-between, your advocate, daysman. All them words mean the same thing. Substitute. Substitutionary death. Vicarious. Now, all them words, all them big words mean He took my place. And when I say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. God takes His record and puts it on mine. So that when I die, God sees Jesus Christ. You understand that? That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've had people tell me, Lord, I can't go to church. I've been so mean and everything. Don't worry about it. You're the kind we're looking for. His life for mine. His life for mine. Kelsey sings that song. His life for mine. How could it ever be? How could it ever be? You want a love story? There's you a love story. Lord have mercy. You like romance? Oh, my goodness, ladies. There's the greatest love story the world's ever heard. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He took my place. If a man die, how can a man be just with God? By trusting Jesus. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One question I want to ask you this morning. If you died, this morning, on the way home, where would you be? Where would you be? You say, I just don't see how you can know that. I've told you, if you'll trust Jesus to save you, He'll put His record on your chart. And then when God pulls your chart, judicially, He'll never see your sins again. Practically, He does deal with us and down here in this life. But as far as your record in heaven, brother, He's got Jesus' blood on you. And you're clear. You ought to thank God for that.
Amen.
Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Jesus answers Job's questions. Jesus answers Job's questions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's moving. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you this morning to be honest with me. Be honest with me this morning. While the pianist plays softly, is God speaking to your heart? Is God speaking to your heart? Nobody's moving. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I'm not saved. Brother Danny, I'm not saved. If I died this morning, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell, or I know I'd go to hell. Brother Danny, I want this church to pray for me. Would you let us pray for you this morning? We're not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, and you say, preacher, pray for me. Just lift up your hand. Just raise your hand. Take it right back down. Let us pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else, just raise your hand. Take it right back down. Raise it up, sir, ma'am, young person, girl, mama, daddy. Slip it up. Slip it up. Take it right back down. We're going to pray for you. We're not going to put you on the spot or nothing, but I would like to pray for you. Come on. Come on. Raise it right now. Is there another? Is there another right for you? I see your hand. I see your hand, sir. God bless you. Nobody's moving. Nobody's walking. Nobody's talking. God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to your heart. You that lifted your hand, wouldn't this be the best day ever just to come and be saved? What have you got to lose, friend? What have you got to lose? Huh? Amen. Something's already coming. Something's already coming. Something's already coming. Would you come? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody come and pray these folks. Amen. Somebody pray for this man. Amen. Amen. Help these folks. Amen. Let God speak to hearts. Let God speak to your heart. Amen. Amen. If you raise your hand this morning, come on, come on. If you raise your hand for prayer, come on, girls, boys, come on, right now. Let's settle it. You don't want to leave this building unless you know you're right with God. Jesus answered Job's question. Come on, come on, right now. Come on, just get out of your seat. Come on, right now. Move. Move right now. Amen. Amen. If you raise your hand, would you come? Come and let us pray with you. Let's settle this thing between you and God this morning. We do it. We do it. Let's settle it between you and God. Let's settle it between you and God. Come on, right now. Come on, just slip right out of your seat. Come on, son. Come on. If you raise your hand, come right now. Why don't you just settle this thing? It's never going to get no easier. Heaven's at stake and hell's at stake. Your eternal destiny. We're talking about forever and ever, people. This ain't no game. Would you come? Would you come right now? Come on. Come on right now. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Touch the lost. Save the lost, Lord. Holy Ghost conviction. Dear God, please, in Jesus' name, may the Holy Ghost of God come. Yes. Do a miracle here this morning. May that person be born again by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this morning. You come on right now. Come on.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Everybody, come on now.
Calling for you and for me.
Everybody, come on, let's sing now.
See on the portals, he's waiting and watching.
Come on, come on, right now.
Watching for you and for me.
Everybody, come on now, let's sing.
Say, come home.
Got right, whatever happened up here. Now look, we just broke the ice. Tonight, come back, we'll have church. See, it takes Sunday morning to get the devil out of everybody. Then we're ready to have worship when we come back tonight. That's true. Y'all are just now ready to have church. So come back tonight, and I've got a message that everybody here needs. Believe it or not, admit it or not, everybody here needs what I'm going to preach tonight. All right? Don't miss it. 6 o'clock. Ladies, be here early for the baby shower. Men, you can come on with them. We'll have a prayer meeting or something. A little time of fellowship. All right? Amen. Don't forget now, 2 weeks from today, tonight will be our back.